This Torah class is brought to you by TorahAnytime.com.
Okay, welcome everyone. Parshas Bereishis. So there's a very quick turnaround. You know, as they say, Na'at Saifai L'Tchilasai. The end of the Torah hooks right back into the beginning. As soon as you finish the Zayis HaBracha, as we said, you have to start Bereishis right away. You know, we took note of the fact, and there's the observation of the stipler, that in the Chasan Torah, you call up the Chasan Torah, you say, Amoid, Amoid, Amoid. But Chasan Bereishis, you say, Maher, Amoid, Amoid. You know? Because as soon as you finish V'zoi Sabracha, you have to immediately start Bereishis. There's no, it's a big sakana. The moment you kick back and you say, I already finished, I'm going to relax a little bit, I'm going to take in my accomplishments, it's a very big danger. So Baruch Hashem, we're here for another year. Tav Shin Pei, the Rebbeinu Hashem should give us Siyata D'Shmaya. Laharois Oysono Mitairasoi Neflois. Okay, so we're going to begin with a very interesting subject. Again, there wasn't a lot of time between the end of Yom Tov and now, but Baruch Hashem, I think... Let's remind everyone to turn off their phones. And so there wasn't a lot of time between the end of Yom Tov and now, but the Gemara tells us in Masechet Megillah about a chazan, that there are certain things that a chazan may say that not only are we not happy with it, but we have to, you know, silence him. We have to make him be quiet. Meshaskin oisai. And one of those things, the Gemara says in Megillah, on Daf Chaf Hei, the Gemara says, it's a Mishnah, Al kan sipar yagiu rachamecha. On the bird's nest, your mercy reaches. If somebody says that, Meshaskin oisai. We silence him. If somebody says, Ribbono shel Olam, you're so merciful on the bird. And the evidence by the fact that if you need to take an egg, you can't just take the egg. You have to send away the mother, and then you take the, then you could take the egg. So we say, if somebody says, Ribbono shel Olam, your mercy even reaches the bird's nest, we have to silence such a person. It's inappropriate verbiage. It's inappropriate expression. So the Gemara discusses what's wrong with saying, Al kan sipar yagiyo rachamecha. This is a Gemara in Megillah. It's also a Gemara in Brachos. Says Gemara, Kan Sipar Yagir Rachamecha, my taima, what's the reason we silence the person? And the Gemara brings the machloikis, Pligiba Tre Amorai Bimarava. Is the machloikis to Amoraim in Eretz Yisrael? Rabbi Yossi Bar Avin, Rabbi Yossi Bar Zvida. I'm going to say the second reason first. Because what it's doing is it's turning the mitzvahs into God's mercy on creation. It's making a mitzvah social welfare, tikkun olam, or some kind of liberal idea that the Ribbono shel Olam gave us mitzvahs because the Ribbono shel Olam is merciful on the birds or on creation. And it's not true. Or the mitzvos are not acts of God's mercy. The mitzvos are absolute realities. The mitzvos are the Dvar Hashem. They're not rachamim, they're gzeirais. But the first answer, and that's going to be the subject of tonight's shir, and that is Chad Omar mipnei shamatil kina b'masa bereishis. You're instilling jealousy in creation. What does that mean, you're instilling jealousy in creation? Because if you're going to say that the Ribbono shel Olam is merciful on the birds, so that means Ribbono shel Olam is merciful on the birds, he's not merciful on the dogs, not on the cats, and not on the fish. And it's going to create an imbalance in creation, as if God is playing favorites. God likes, you know, owls and woodpeckers, but he doesn't like polar bears. It's not right, then the polar bears are going to get jealous, and the alligators are going to get jealous, and the birds are going to say, look, you know, we owls, we eagles, we're better than you. God loves us more. He's more interested in us. He's more protective of us. So you're causing an imbalance in creation. The Lashon of the Gemara is, you're matil kina b'masa bereishis. And therefore, if somebody dear says that God's mercy reaches the nest of the bird, we silence such a person. Look at Rashi. Rashi says, loimar al ha'oifos chas. To say that God is merciful on the birds, v'ala behemois, v'achayos enuchas, but on the animals and the wild animals, he's not merciful. So this seems to be an important principle, that one cannot suggest that there's any kind of imbalance or any kind of off-kilter in creation. God doesn't play favorites. He doesn't like birds better than fish. He doesn't like fish better than birds. And as we're going to see, this is a recurring theme in all of Masa Bereishis. that every single thing the Ribbono Shel Olam created, he was super conscious and careful to make sure that all of creation is created equal. So let's give another example. Vayomer Elokim Nase Adam. God said, let us make man. So this is one of the most difficult psukim in the whole Torah. This is one of the psukim that they changed for Talmai HaMelech. Who's God talking to? It suggests that there's Chas V'Shalom Shtei Reshuyos. Who's God talking to when he says, let us make man? Says Rashi, An V'Sanusoi Shel HaKadosh Baruch Hu L'madnu Mikan. God ain't talking to anybody. But we learn God's humility. Why? People want to know, you know, there's something called reverse psychology. This is the first example of reverse psychology in the Chumash. Man is created in the image of the angels. The angels are going to be jealous of man. God was afraid the angels would be jealous of man because the man looks like angels. Therefore, the Ribbono Shel Olam consulted the angels so that the angels shouldn't be jealous of man. Now, so let's think about that. First of all, we learn a very important lesson from here. That if you're afraid, this is just Eitzah Tova, good advice. If you're afraid someone's jealous of you, if you're scared, if you're sensitive that perhaps somebody's jealous, the way to sort of placate that person, the way to alleviate the jealousy, is you go over to them and you ask them advice. You consult with them, because what you're doing is you're putting yourself under them. So now they won't be jealous of you anymore. They're jealous of you because they think that you're above them. But so when you go ask Eitzah from them, you're placing yourself beneath them. It sort of placates them and it removes their jealousy. It's a yisod you learn from Rashi. So why would the angels be jealous of man? Because man is created in the image of the Malachim. So therefore the Ribbono Shel Olam was afraid the angels would be jealous of man, so God consulted the angels. And Rashi brings various examples that the Ribbono Shel Olam often consults with the angels. For example, when Hashem judges kings, Hashem consults with the angels. Like we find by Achav, that Micha told Achav that Hashem is consulting with the angels on the right side and the angels on the left side. So too, says Rashi, Afkan at the end of Rashi, B'pamalyo shaloi natal rishos. He asked rishos from his retinue. Amar Elohim, listen to the reverse psychology. It's mamash reverse psychology. God was afraid the angels would be jealous of man. So what argument did the Ribbono Shel Olam use to the Malachim why you should create man? He said, Malachim, I have to create man. If I don't create man, the upper worlds, the lower worlds will be jealous of the upper worlds. Because the lower worlds will say that upstairs there are entities that are in your image, and downstairs there are no entities in your image. Amar lehem, yesh be'elyonim kidmusi. Upstairs there are entities in my image. Im ein kidmusi betachtoinim, if there are nothing in my likeness downstairs, hare yesh kina b'maseh bereishis, there's going to be jealousy in creation. So listen to there's like a double psychology going on here. Hashem knew that the angels would be jealous of man. That the angels would say, what's going on over here? Here there's another creation that looks like us. So Ribbono Shel Olam knew the Malachim would be jealous of man. So what did Ribbono Shel Olam do? He told the Malachim, I have to make man, because if I don't make man, then the lower worlds are going to be jealous of the upper worlds. So Hashem used the jealousy card to convince the angels to create man so that the angels wouldn't be jealous. See, yeah.
When Moshe Rabbeinu went to get the Torah, didn't he say "Kinum Yishpachem Kina"? That was his defense, no?
If I'm not mistaken, on that Gemara, there's a little Gilyan Hashas. There's a comment from Rabbi Kiveger. Rabbi Kiveger just says, "I ain't in that medrash." But we don't know what Rabbi Kiveger means to ask. He means to ask your question. He means to ask, how could Moshe Rabbeinu say to Malachim, Klum yesh kina b'neichem? So the Rebbe Kiveger says, look in the Chazal, that we see Malachim do have jealousy.
So then he didn't have any defense.
Yeah, that's Rebbe Kiveger's kasha. Yeah, that's a Gilyan Hashas. He doesn't say the kasha, but he's Mitzayin. In other words, the Gemara says, Klum yesh kina b'neichem. But when Hashem wanted to give, Rabbi Kiveger asked from the fact that when Hashem wanted to give us the Torah, the Malachim were jealous. They said, "Tna hoitcha b'shamayim, leave it here." So we see the Malachim maybe do have jealousy. This is a kasha. That's a good kasha. Okay, but the bottom line is, here again we see that the Ribbono Shel Olam was so careful that the angels should not be jealous of man, and he was able to explain to the Malachim why we have to create man, because otherwise the downstairs will be jealous of the upstairs. Okay, apparently jealousy was a very real part of creation. Here it is. What day are we on anyway? We're in the sixth day of creation. What are we afraid of? The Ribbono Shel Olam says, angels, I have to create man. Why do I have to create man? Because the Tachtoinim will be jealous of the Elyoinim. But if there's no man, who's going to be jealous of the Elyoinim? The rocks are going to be jealous. The trees are going to be jealous. The fish are going to be jealous. You see, kinna is not only part of the makeup of man. Kinna is a reality of existence. Rocks are jealous. Sticks are jealous. What? Even the Ribbono Shel Olam is jealous. We learn from here, kinna is part of the fabric of the Bria. And the Ribbono Shel Olam is so careful to avoid this kinna that if somebody says, Al kansipar yagir rachamecha, we silence the person. The Ribbono Shel Olam has to persuade the Malachim to create man, but the Ribbono Shel Olam doesn't want the Malachim to be jealous, but he's able to convince them to create man, because otherwise the downstairs will be jealous of the upstairs. Now listen to this. So God creates man. And what does he make man out of? Man is a composite. In other words, we're a big mess. You know, people want to know, why am I so conflicted? That's who we are. We're very conflicted. We're tormented. Man is a big mess. Unless you could figure out how you could reconcile the dirt and the soul, a human being is a mess. Because you have things pulling you down, and you have things pulling you up. The whole day, you have a neshama that says, there's nothing in this world that gives me even an ounce of enjoyment. And you have a body that says, I don't want to be in shul. I don't want to learn. So wherever, it's a no-win situation. If you're pursuing ruchnias, the body isn't happy. If you're pursuing gashmias, the neshama is not happy. So al yidei the Torah HaKadosha, we're able to fuse together the guf and the neshama in diracheha darchei noyam, where we have a certain equilibrium, we have a certain menuchas hanefesh, but otherwise the natural state of man is in tug-of-war. That's, in other words, if a person doesn't figure out how to navigate this world, person's in turmoil. That's the natural state of a human being. Look at number five.
Four elements, Rabbi.
That's right. But here we see the primary ingredients of man. Yitzar Hashem lekim asa Adam, afram in adama, vayipach ve'apav nishmas chayim. God created man out of dirt. So next time somebody tells you, pal, you're a piece of dirt, say, you're right, amoida, enachanami. That's what we're created at. Vayipach bi'apav nishmas chayim. But we're the word of the Ramami Pano says that Adam, the pashtus in the word Adam means we come from the Adama, we come from the earth. But it also has another meaning. It has a meaning of Adam el Elyon. I'm similar to the Ribbono Shel Olam. So the word Adam has a duality to it. On the one hand, it means we're a piece that we're made out of the earth. On the other hand, it means that we could be similar to the Ribbono Shel Olam. But look at this Rashi. Rashi says that when the Ribbono Shel Olam created man, asoy min ha'elyonim u'min ha'tachtonim, he made man out of the upper worlds, the neshama u'min ha'tachtonim, and out of the lower worlds, the dirt. Guf min ha'tachtonim u'neshama min ha'elyonim. Why? On day one, what was created? Heaven and earth. So let's keep a tally, okay? Heaven and earth, remember, everybody's jealous. This is a very jealous world. So heaven has one point, you know, the heaven, and earth has another point, okay? Tied. Right now in the boxing match between heaven and earth, it's a tie. Says Rashi, Besheni bara rakia le'elyonim. On day two, God created the firmament. Okay, so it's 2-1. Heaven is up 2-1. But in the bottom of the second inning, Beshlishi teirah yabashal tachtoinim. On the third day, the dry land appeared. It's a tie game. Then Rashi's Beravi bara ma'iras le'elyonim. On the fourth day, God created the sun and the moon. 3-2. So I'm going to tell you Akasha, Stam Akasha. I don't have a good answer to this. How is the sun and the moon for the Elyonim? Who exactly upstairs is benefiting from the sun and the moon? Sun and the moon is for me and you. You know, We see with the sun, all our food comes from the sun. What does it mean that the Ma'oros are for the Elyonim? Originally. I mean the original light, and then the Ribbono Shel Olam. But now, so now we're ahead. Yeah? B'chamishi, it's tie game again. Yishutzu amayim latachtoinim. They're fish. So it's 3-3. Now, on the sixth day, God has to create man. If he creates man, min ha'olyoinim, it's going to be 4-3 downstairs. If upstairs, if God creates man from the tachtoinim, it's 4-3 downstairs. So Ribbono Shel Olam says, I have a wonderful idea. I'm going to create man from the Adama and from the Shamayim. This way, why? V'yimlav yesh kina b'masa b'reishis. Because if I don't create man out of both, it's going to be a tie. It's going to be a jealousy. It's going to be a rivalry. It's going to be too competitive. Therefore, the Ribbono Shel Olam has to keep an even score. So I'll tell you a kasha. I don't have a good answer to this kasha either. It's not my kasha. The kasha of the Hafla. The Hafla asks. It's not a tie game. Let's think about it. Day one, Shamayim v'aretz, tie. Day two, Rakia. Day three, Aretz. Day four, Ma'orais. Day five, fish. Day six, man from both. You forgot about something. What's the beginning of day six? The beginning of day six, God created the animals. The animals are just min ha-tachtonim. So it's yesh kinah b'masa bereishis. So the Hafla, you could take a look on your own, tries to address this question number 14, that Rashi seems to have ignored the fact that on day six, Ribbono Shel Olam created the animals, and the animals are only min ha-tachtonim. Says the Maral comments on Rashi, that we learn from here and we observe from here an amazing phenomenon, a very important idea, that the world must be equal. All facets of the world must be created equal. The Elyonim and the Tachtonim have to be shakal. Says the Maral, look in the Medrash. The Medrash says, Bereishis Barlekim Eis HaShamayim. First the Shamayim first. And then in Perek Beis, Pasuk Dalet, Eile told us the Shemayim va'aretz bibaram. Shemayim first. And then, Pasuk Dalet, we have B'yoyim B'roy Asois Hashem Kim Eretz v'Shemayim, Eretz first. Why sometimes Shemayim first? Why sometimes Eretz first? Because otherwise it's going to be a rivalry. You know, it's like you serve pizza at a shir. Okay, so people are civil enough that if Reuven gets a little bit of a bigger slice, Shimon will still enjoy his slice. But try bringing home a pie of pizza to kids. Right? All of a sudden they take out, you know, molecular microscopes to measure whether the slice that Reuven got is as big as the slice that Shimon got. Why? Yesh kinah b'pizza. That's the way the world is. That look how even little kids, they don't know anything yet. They can't even read the Aleph Beis, but they know that if their sibling got a bigger slice of pizza, it's mamish a churban. It's terrible. Try pouring soda for two kids. All of a sudden, they take out, you know, molecular binoculars to see who got more soda. So the Ribbono Shel Olam created the world the same way. Everyone's keeping score in the Bria. Everyone's keeping score. Oh, Shamayim came first! Okay, so Eretz has to come first in the next Pasuk. Says the Maral, everything in the Bria has to be mamish shakal. There can't be any kinah b'masa bereishis. It's interesting. Look at number 10 for a moment. There's a Medrash. The Medrash Rabbah comments that sometimes Shamayim comes before Aretz, sometimes Aretz comes before Shamayim, to teach Sheshkulenheim. But what's interesting is, the Medrash compares it to the fact that usually Avraham comes before Yitzchak, comes before Yaakov, but one time Yaakov comes before Yitzchak. The Zacharti is b'risa Yaakov. Why? So says the Medrash, to teach Sheshkulenheim. Always Moshe comes before Aaron, but one time Aaron comes before Moshe. Why? Shkulenheim. And the Medrash brings many examples of this. For it usually says Tyrin and then Bnei Yoina. And one time it says Bnei Yoina before Tar. Why? They're equal. And it always says, who's more important, your father or your mother? So it says Kabi Yosavich v'yasimecha, but it says Ish imay v'aviv tiro. Why? They're equal. There's a sefer, I found a sefer, Nes Yehuda. Interesting sefer. He says, even in one pasuk, Perek Beis, Pasuk Dalet, if you look back at number 9, in the same pasuk, Eile Todei Shamayim V'aretz B'hibaram, B'yoyim Asayis Hashem Elokim Eretz V'shamayim, in the same pasuk, first Shamayim Aretz and then Aretz was Shamayim. It's like Aretz was having such tainas on the Ribbono Shel Olam that Shamayim came first. Ribbono Shel Olam had to make it up to the Aretz in the exact same pasuk. Don't worry, in a few words later I'm going to give you first dibs. Moshe and Aaron, right? It's a very interesting question. Frekta Nachas Yaakov. Nachas Yaakov is one of the super commentaries on Rashi. One of the commentaries on Rashi, he asks. So let's make a cheshbon. Day one, 50-50. Day two, the Shamayim. Day three, the Aretz. Day four, the Shamayim. Day five, the Aretz. Day six, half and half. Frekta Nachas Yaakov. What about Shabbos? Hashem created Shabbos. Who is Shabbos for? Shabbos is for us, right? You go home, you eat challah, you eat cholent, and you go to sleep. So Shabbos is for Adam. So nachamol, yesh kinah b'masa bereishis. So Nachas Yaakov says, he's one of the classic commentators on Rashi. Yeah, but we just said, Adam is min hashamayim u'min haaretz. So you're right, Shabbos is for Adam. But that's not for Aretz. Adam already is min hashamayim. It's half and half. So it's not like we're favoring the Aretz. We're favoring Shabbos. So the Maskil David said, Bechlal, it's not Akasha. He doesn't understand why the Nachas Yaakov has to say that. He says, very pashut. Why is Shabbos more for the Aretz than for the Shamayim? Adarabba, he says, if anything, the Iker Menucha Shabbos is for the Elyonim. Why? Because in Shamayim, all the neshamas on Shabbos, they go up from one madrega to the next madrega. Your Shabbos is called the day of the soul. Even the Rishayim have menucha on Shabbos. Can you imagine? Even people that talk by Chazoras Hashatz, on Shabbos they have menucha. It's amazing. Imagine? The rest of the week, it's not that comfortable. But on Shabbos, so Shabbos in Shamayim is Be'ikar B'Shamayim. Right? There's a Shabbos in Shamayim. It's all the Nagunim from Shabbos in Shamayim. Bechlal, what's Olam Haba? Olam Haba is Yoim Shekulai Shabbos. So Shabbos is not only for the Tachtoinim. Shabbos is for the Olyoinim as well. And therefore we have equilibrium, we have Shalom, we have Shavius, we have equality between the heaven and the earth. Another interesting question. So if I were to ask you, yesterday was Simchas Torah, and for many people, the Ikar Avodah on Simchas Torah is not the dancing, is not even the Kriyas HaTorah, it's eating at the Kiddush. Many people make a big Avodah out of eating at the Kiddush. And in this shul, we were zoicha to have four types of herring. Imagine? Four types of herring. It's amazing. And the question is, why are you allowed to eat herring? Why are you allowed to eat fish? Are fish kosher? I'm not talking about those who say there are bugs in the herring. That's a different issue. Are you allowed to eat fish? Where in the Torah does it say you're allowed to eat fish? I'll tell you a little story. There's a man named Adam. God let Adam eat pears, peaches, Brussels sprouts, alfalfa beans, red peppers, green peppers. He wasn't allowed to eat anything else. He was a vegetarian. Yeah? And then nobody was allowed to eat meat until Noach came out of the Teva. And Noach comes out of the Teva and the Baruch Hashem says, Noach, you're a really swell guy. And I'm going to give you a matana teva. From now on, you could eat meat. So Ramban wants to know why you're allowed to eat meat. You weren't allowed to eat meat until now. The Ramban explains, because even a behemoth, and maybe this would answer the question, maybe somebody would suggest, even a behemoth has some nefesh to it. Ki hadam hu nefesh. That's why even today when we eat meat, we shecht it. And when you shecht it, most of the blood comes out. And whatever blood is remaining, we salt it out. We even today, we try not to consume the nefesh of the behemoth, the Ramban says. So why was Noach allowed to eat meat? Says Ramban, because Noach was matriach, and he put in hard work to save the animals, and he fed the animals around the clock. Noach was a great zookeeper. Noach, around the clock, he's feeding the behemoths. And since he was matriach to save the behemoths, and the behemoths only survived in his merit, therefore God says, I'm going to let you eat meat. But the question is, but there were no fish on the teva. So if there are no fish on the teva, why is Noach allowed to eat fish? Why are we allowed to eat fish? Says the Avnei Nezer, Taka, you're not allowed to eat fish. You're not allowed to. It's Asr. Oh, but once the Torah was given, you're allowed to eat fish. Says the Avnei Nezer, until the Torah was given, you could only eat meat, not fish. Those were the days, you know? Meat and no fish, can you imagine? They try to give you a supper one night, fish. No, we only eat meat. But then the Torah was given. It says Avnei Nezer, the Torah was given on what day of the week? Hakol Moedim de B'Shabbos Nitna Torah. That's why we eat gefilte fish on Shabbos, says Avnei Nezer. That's why we eat fish on Shabbos. Because fish only became mutter on Shabbos of Kabbalah Satorah. That's Avnei Nezer. But that's very difficult to say that we weren't allowed to eat fish until the Torah was given. You're telling me you could eat a piece of steak and you can't eat a salmon? Says the Meshech Chachma is bothered by this kasha. Look at number 15. The Meshech Chachma wants to know, Adam loyhuter loy baser lachila rak noyach b'schar tipuloy v'heichin lohem madar. Noyach cared for them and he bothered for them and he prepared for them. I the fish v'hadogim. No, he was allowed to eat fish. He had to be able to eat fish. Why? Otherwise, it would be kina b'masa bereshis. The whole shear. Otherwise, not fair. The fish would be swimming around and saying, "Yeah, God loves us more than you. God doesn't like you cows. God doesn't like you sheep. God doesn't like you behemoths. He only likes us." And it's going to create a lack of balance in creation. Says the Meshech Chachma, the svara of Matil Kina B'masa Bereishis is the heter of why Noach was allowed to eat fish. In other words, the Ribbono Shel Olam comes to Noach and he says, "Noach, I'm giving you a matana. I'm giving you steak." So Noach goes home and he tells his wife, even though God didn't tell me we could eat tuna fish, it must be we could eat tuna fish. Why? Because otherwise it would be jealousy b'masa bereishis. Noach was allowed to eat non-kosher animals. The sons of Yaakov are fishermen. Yeah. We had a shear whether you're allowed to go fishing. Ayin Sham. Okay? So here again we see the carefulness that the Ribbono Shel Olam had shalei tatil kina b'masa bereishis. If you say al kansipor yagiu rachamecha, we silence the person. The Ribbono Shel Olam was careful to create Adam. He told the Malachim, "I have to create Adam," but the Ribbono Shel Olam knew the Malachim would be jealous, so he had to placate the Malachim. But he placated them by explaining to them that we have to create man because otherwise the lower worlds are going to be jealous of the upper worlds. And the Ribbono Shel Olam had to make man out of Shamayim Va'aretz, otherwise the days would be jealous of each other, and we have to be able to eat fish because otherwise there's going to be too much jealousy in creation. But we know there were a few little episodes when this jealousy sort of broke through, and the Ribbono Shel Olam created a big sun and a big moon. Right? Vayivro Lekim, Vayasa Lekim, look at number 16, Ashnei Hama'oires Hagadoylim. As Hamora Godom Shal Sayam, as Hamora Kotelam Shalas Halayla. So there's a stero here. At first they're both big, and then one's big and one's small. So we all know what Rashi says. The moon came along and the moon said, there's no such thing as assistance. There's no rabbi and assistant rabbi. There are no two parties. We can't have two kings over here. It doesn't work. Ein shnei malachim mishtamshim b'keser echad. So what did God do? God made the moon small. So you see, it's like all of creation is like bursting with kina. It's like, you know, it's like you have a substance that's so gaseous that if you throw a little fire into it, it explodes. It's like the bria is bursting with kina. That the moment there's something over here that one creation feels someone's competing with him, there's an atomic bomb. So now listen to what happens. So Ribbono Shel Olam said, no problem. If they can't have two kings, then there's going to be a sun and there's going to be a little moon. But even so, Ribbono Shel Olam was so sensitive to the moon. He felt bad for the moon, that the moon is going to feel like second-class citizen. So Ribbono Shel Olam made what? Stars. Now let's think for a moment. The Ribbono Shel Olam made a lot of stars to make the moon feel better. You know that there are more stars than grains of sand in all the beaches in the world. There are billions and trillions and gazillions of stars. The star is bigger than the sun. So Ribbono Shel Olam made more stars than there are dust particles on planet Earth. Why? So there won't be jealousy in creation. The Ribbon Shel Olam made things, billions of things, more powerful than the sun, so that there won't be jealousy. So how far does a person have to go when they make a simcha or something happens to them not to arouse someone else's jealousy? Look what the Ribbono Shel Olam did not to arouse the jealousy of the moon. He created billions of suns to make the moon feel better. And then the Nachash comes to Chava, and the Nachash tells Chava, look, Chava, you need to eat the fruit. You know why? Because God doesn't want anyone to eat the fruit. Because God ate the fruit, and that's how He created the world. And there's a concept that every profession hates people in that profession. So if you're a doctor, says Chazal, you hate every other doctor. And if you're a lawyer, you hate every other lawyer. And if you're a rabbi, you hate every other rabbi. So the Gemara says, by nature. And if you sell jewelry, you hate every jeweler in the world. Unless you work on yourself. It's a chazaka. It's a chazaka. Kol uman soine es b'nei umnasai. Because they're competing with it. It's chazaka. Unless a person works on their midos, they will hate every single person in that profession. So God hates all people who eat from the Eitz Hadas. So He told you not to eat from it. Because God is jealous. And they believed Him. Why did they believe Him? Because they understood that the reality of the world is people are bursting with kinna. So they figured He must be right. He looked at the moon, He saw the nuclear explosion that happened when the moon was jealous of the sun. They saw how man was created, how carefully everything has to be balanced, and they understood that maybe Taka, the Ribbono Shel Olam, is jealous of them. Chas v'shalom. And why did Cain kill Hevel? Because Hevel brought a carbon, and God liked it better. So Cain said, I don't like you. So he killed him. So it's an amazing thing. Kinna is moitzi adam min ha'olam. Jealousy takes a person out of the world. You know why jealousy takes a person out of the world? Because the Ribbono Shel Olam created the world, that part of the fabric is that He was super sensitive to create the world based on the principle that there cannot be any jealousy. That's why the Ribbono Shel Olam made man, so that there's no bigger entities in the higher worlds and the lower worlds. And that's why God made man out of the earth and the heaven, so that day one, day two, day three, day four, day five, day six would be balanced. Meaning the bedrock of the world is built on avoiding jealousy. So when a person is jealous, they need to leave the world. They can't be here. Because the whole world was built on the sensitivity that the Ribbono Shel Olam had that there shouldn't be jealousy. So kinna is literally moitzias adam out of the world. So we learn from here two very simple things. And that is, if the Ribbono Shel Olam was so careful, think about what the Ribbono Shel Olam had to do so that the moon shouldn't be jealous of the sun. He had to make gazillions of orbs bigger than the sun so that the moon is not jealous of the sun. So the Gemara tells us that a person should not differentiate between his children. You know, you can't play favoritisms. Rav Shamshon Fel Hirsch says, woe to the parent that his children know who his favorite is. That's not so easy. You have different kids. One kid is like a gift from heaven. You don't even know where he came from. You know, one kid is like perfect. Is just what you imagine. And one kid, Not quite, yeah, not quite. So how do you overcome the natural tendency to show favoritism to one? But we see mahu af ata, that part of one of the yesoidos with which Ribbono Shel Olam created the world, that there has to be a certain equality. Otherwise, you're matel kina b'masa bereishis. And we see Yaakov Avinu was in such control over his emotions and his behavior, You know, they say that the Altar of Slabodka, he was told on Yom Tov that he had lost a child. So he the Altar of Slabodka was such a master of the subconscious. He did not want to let out even a cry. He didn't even want to let out, show any emotion. At one point of time, he almost gave a little krechts and he controlled himself. And the moment that the Yom Tov was over, it's like he turned on a faucet and the tears burst forth. So here's a person in utter and total control over his emotions. And certainly Yaakov Avinu was able to control himself more than the Altar of Slabodka. And yet, Chazal, in their microscopic view, they were able to detect that Yaakov Avinu had a certain favoritism toward Yosef HaTzadik. And Chazal say, that is why we went down to Mitzrayim. Because when you're matil kina b'masa b'reishis, it's mitzian es ha'adam in oilam. It disrupts the entire world. So the first thing is, a person should go to great lengths and exert great energy to avoid incurring other people's jealousy. But we learn from here something remarkable in the complete opposite direction. I saw in the Sefer Limudei Nisan of Rav Nissen Alpert that, and I believe this is what he's saying, if in every step of creation, what do we see about the Ribbono Shel Olam? The Ribbono Shel Olam is saying, we have to create man, otherwise the heaven is going to be jealous of the earth. The earth is going to be jealous of the heaven. What's going to be jealous of the heaven if there's no man? The rocks? The sticks? The grass? Yeah, apparently, that the way the Ribbono Shel Olam created the world is a very jealous world. Not just human beings, it's part of creation. And the Ribbono Shel Olam had to create man, part min ha'adama, part min ha'shamayim, because otherwise the days would be imbalanced. What we learn from here is, the Ribbono Shel Olam programmed that kina is one of the dominant features of creation. So I want to share with you a pasuk. The pasuk in Koheles. The pasuk in Koheles says, listen to this. You read the pasuk, you think it's a criticism, it's a praise. Look at number 24. Ve'ra'isi ani es kol amal. I see all the toil. Ve'eis kol kishra in hamaseh. And all the good actions. Ki hi kinas ishmerayeho. Shlomo HaMelech is saying, every single thing that a human being does is out of jealousy. Kol amal, kol kishrei namaseh. Every dollar you make is because you're jealous of one guy who you think you're competing with and you feel, I need to make that extra buck. Every day you go to work, every shmoneh esrei you daven, every mitzvah you ever did, it's because you're jealous of somebody. This is not what I'm saying. This is what Shlomo says. Kol amol, kol kishrei namaseh. You know what Shlomo Melech says? Gam zeh hevel rus ruach. It's a bunch of rubbish, you human beings. All your actions are empty. Kol ha'adam koizev. You're all phonies. We're all phonies. That's what we say in Hallel. Hey, people are shuckling b'simcha. Kol ha'adam koizev. You just said, what did you just say? I'm the biggest hypocrite in the world. I'm happy that gives you simcha. Kal ha'adam koizev. Shlomo HaMelech is saying, I never saw anybody ever do anything that was not motivated by jealousy. And it's a bunch of rubbish. Gam zeh hevel uros ruach. Says Targum Yonos HaMen Uziel, no, it's a good thing. Listen to Targum Yonos HaMen Uziel. V'chazeis ana yas kol torcha. I see all the toil. V'yas kol oitavos uvada the avdin ben yanasha, and all the good things that people do, arum hi kinasa de kani gvar lechavrei. All the good things that people do is because they're jealous. If you see somebody, you know, he's involved in this organization. You see somebody, he does hatzala, he does chai lifeline, he does time chay shabbos, he does you name it. It's because he's jealous of somebody. You see somebody, his name is on the building, his name is on the shul, his name is here, his name is there, because he's jealous of a guy, and he gave a little bit more than the other guy.
So it's a motivation?
Yeah, not a motivation. It is the only motive, the only reason people do anything, says Shlomo. Now, listen to this. It's because you're jealous of someone. You want to do like them. Memra deshmaya yoytivlei. Gevaldik. Attaboy. Keep it up. Ribbon Shel Olam will reward you. You came to Shul early because you wanted to come a minute before your friend. Gevaldik. Do it again. You learned. You came to a shir because you wanted to show that, you know, amazing. Great. You'll be rewarded. But then there are people who are jealous of the wicked and they want to do bad things like the bad guys. No. But if you're jealous of the bad, to do like their bad, God will punish you. This is Hevel Rus Ruach. Shlomo HaMelech is not saying Hevel Rus Ruach on Kishrei Namasa. Says Rav Nissen Alpert, what we learn from this concept, where the Ribbono Shel Olam is so sensitive not to be matel kinah b'maaseh bereishis, is kinah is a very strong force in this world. The Ribbono Shel Olam programmed kinah into this world. The Ribbono Shel Olam wants people to be bursting with jealousy. The only thing is you have to know what to use it for, because it's also a very big danger. It's gesher tzar ma'od. It's gesher tzar ma'od. The Ribbono Shel Olam programmed us with a dangerous tool that could be the greatest motivation to accomplish, and also something which is Maitzianus Adam and Oilam. So on the one hand, the Ribbono Shel Olam is very careful. Everything has to be equal. But on the other hand, the fact that the Ribbono Shel Olam is showing us how strong jealousy is, he's instructing us. Listen to this. This is how Rav Nissen Alpert learns it. That if you go somewhere and you see somebody who learns better than you, daven's better than you, does more chesed than you, you should be jealous of it and try to do it also. In fact, all the mitzvahs that people do, it's because they're jealous. That's not what I say. That's what Shlomo HaMelech says. And it's a good thing. And you're going to be rewarded for it. The problem is when you let the jealousy hijack you. Instead, here you have a guy, you have two guys in show. One guy, he's a big masmid. He's a big Baal Midas. He's a big Yari Shemaim. And the guy next to him, he's a big Oysher. And he's a big Baal Taiva. So who are you jealous of? Who do you want to be like? What do you want? Jealousy is very important. Jealousy is your greatest ally. But you have to make sure it doesn't become your greatest enemy. So on the one hand, Shlomo HaMelech says, and the Targum says, you'll be rewarded if you use your jealousy for kinah soifrim tar bechachma. On the other hand, and this is the struggle that everybody faces, is that kihi kinah sishmei reyehu gamze hevel or us ruach. So the Ribbono Shel Olam should give us all siyata d'shmaya to learn the limudim from Briyas Ha'olam, and that is firstly how careful a person has to be not to arouse the jealousy of other people regarding inyanei gashmius. If somebody has, keep it to yourself. You know, they talk about, in this neighborhood, you should see the inside of the homes, but from the outside, you wouldn't know anything. That's great. That's how it's supposed to be. Well, why would somebody put that down? That's how it's supposed to be. Nobody needs to know what you do and what you have. But when it comes to inyanei ruchnias, one should utilize, one should hone in, one should piggyback on the human nature. And not only human nature, it's the nature of the sun and the nature of the moon and the nature of the stars and the nature of the dirt. The dirt would be jealous if they're malachim in heaven and they're no Adam ba'aretz. Rav Oysai, thank you so much for coming. Agut Yar, and a wonderful rest of the week. Shkoyach.
You've just experienced another Torah class brought to you by TorahAnytime.com.